call the regular meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission to order. It is 10 o'clock on Wednesday, November. Where did that come from?
Wishful thinking?
November 3rd of 2021. I'm Commissioner Julie Fedorchak. With me are Commissioners Brian Crotchis and Randy Christman, so we have a quorum. I don't have any opening comments this morning, at least not right now, so I'll turn it over to Commissioner Christman and see if he does.
I think I will pass opening comments as well.
All right.
No comments. Good morning, everyone.
All right. Good.
Somewhat of a comment.
Dive right into the agenda then. All right. I have a number of items on the consent agenda and minutes from our last meeting. I move approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Yes. I would request that, and there was a little bit of a mix-up on the numbering, that what I believe is CRC1, it has to do with the coal regulatory and AML program evaluation approval, be placed on the regular agenda.
Excellent idea. Do you support that, Commissioner Crotchis?
I do.
All right. Then that's what we will do. Make it. Would you like it to be RC1 or 2?
1.
Okay. And then we'll make Westmoreland.
Why don't we make it 2 and then
okay.
Westmoreland can stay with the current number.
Okay. Okay, make that change.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. All right, so that's it for consent. Moving on to the regular agenda, I have one item. I move the commission adopt the order granting temporary operation of facilities in Caliber, North Dakota, LLC, 8-inch residual gas line, McKenzie County, citing temporary approval, case number PU-21-406.
Second.
All right, on October, I think the second came from Brian. On October 15th, Caliber, North Dakota, filed with the commission an application for temporary operation of facilities and facility modifications of a residual gas pipeline in McKenzie County. Caliber owns and operates a 2.62-mile, 8-inch diameter residue gas pipeline in McKenzie County. The pipeline was constructed in August of 2014 and does not have a siting certificate or permit as required by ND Chapter 4922.1. The pipeline provides a connection from Caliber's Hay Butte plant for delivery to the Northern Border Pipeline. Caliber requests that the Commission issue temporary approval, authorizing the existing pipeline's continued operation and authorizing modifications to the pipeline facility at the existing interconnect with Northern Border to allow gas to flow bidirectionally on the pipeline facility. These modifications would allow transport of gas from Northern Border to a truck loading facility adjacent to Caliber's Hay Butte plant. The trucks would transport compressed natural gas to North Dakota production facilities for use as fuel in hydraulic fracturing operations. Caliber will install approximately 10 to 20 feet of above ground piping, 3 connection valves, and washer, 1 pressure regulator, and a pipe T. So in reviewing this, they request a temporary approval as soon as possible for continued operations of the existing pipeline and placing the facility modifications in service by early November in advance of the winter season. And they say that continued operation and modification of the pipeline facility supports operations in the Bakken, minimizing flaring from the state's oil and gas production and replaces diesel fuel used as fuel for hydraulic fracturing equipment with clean burning compressed natural gas. So they have filed a certification required for this. They have they own the land where all the new facilities will be installed, and they will file a siting application for the pipeline facility on or before November 30th. So with those three things in place, This order would issue the temporary approval of the this variance and allow the rest of the changes to be made in the coming weeks. And I think I covered everything and support this order.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. And that concludes my portfolio. I'll turn it over to you, Commissioner Christman.
I move the commission adopt notice of violation number 2101 order issued to Westmoreland Beulah Mining LLC at the Beulah Mine to affirm the violation, assess a civil penalty, and close the case upon payment of the penalty in Westmoreland Beulah Mining LLC notice of violation number 2101 violation PSC case number RC-21-419.
Second.
So back in 2013, the first year on the commission for Commissioner Fedorchak and I, a dragline walkway corridor 100 feet wide was constructed out there south of Beulah. And surface water runoff from that dragline walkway was to be controlled using best management practices that included silt fences, sumps, and straw wattles in the walkway ditch. Westmoreland failed to maintain the appropriate water management practices, and sediment from the walkway accumulated on respread topsoil. The Reclamation Division observed the dragline corridor and the affected reclaimed land during a June of 2021 mine flyover. And so after noticing that, the site was ground inspected on July 27th to determine the extent and depth of the sediment. There were 6 to 8 inches of sediment that had accumulated in the area immediately adjacent to the walkway, and the depth of accumulation gradually decreased as it got farther away. Approximately 1.3 acres of land was adversely affected. The established hayland vegetation consisting of alfalfa, intermediate wheatgrass, and smooth brome grass was killed in areas where the sediment deposition was greater than about 4 to 5 inches. The hayland stand was thin in areas that had 2 to 4 inches of deposition. So the short-term remedial action required Westmoreland to direct the surface water runoff from the dragline corridor to a sediment pond within 7 days. That was accomplished. They were also required to remove the sediment greater than 1 inch deep from the reclaimed areas while minimizing disturbance to the respread topsoil and the adjacent areas. Westmoreland was also required to check the depth of the topsoil in areas where the sediment was removed to ensure the required depth of topsoil remained in place. They were then required to reseed the affected area by October 31st. The NOV was terminated October 11th after staff deemed that the remedial actions had been satisfactorily accomplished. So we need to assess a civil penalty and adopt an order in this matter. Four factors in determining the amount of any civil penalty are typically considered in reclamation cases. The four factors are the history of previous violations, the seriousness of the violation, negligence on the part of the licensee, and good faith in attempting to achieve compliance. So generally, the history of violations within the previous 3 years is considered, and a penalty for history has not been recommended if there were three or fewer violations in that 3 year period. Westmoreland does not have a history of violations that requires a penalty to be assessed. The commission may assess a civil penalty of up to $3,500 per day based on the seriousness of the violation. This violation did cause some environmental damage, so a $750 penalty based on seriousness is warranted. And I mentioned the degree of negligence, $1,250 penalty based on negligence due to lack of diligence is warranted in this case, I believe. And the commission can deduct up to $1,000 per day from the total civil penalty if a permittee takes extraordinary measures to abate the violation in the shortest possible time. They did do a very good job. I don't know if it was like extremely extraordinary, but the recommended deduction for good faith in this case is $250. So that they did not request an informal conference or a formal hearing regarding the NOV. So the Reclamation Division and I recommend that we affirm the violation and assess. That comes out to a $750 penalty.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Just to clarify, it comes out to a $750 or $1,750?
$1,750 is the net after the $250 deduction.
This was, this took place over several years, correct? The sediment moving onto the farmland?
The road was built 8 years ago, but, you know, they originally had their water management systems in place, and somewhere along the line they degraded. I don't think it was over a long period of time, but I don't know the period exactly. Our staff discovered it on that flyover.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, then the one that I had requested be brought to the regular agenda from consent. I move the commission accept the Federal Office of Surface Mining's 2021 evaluation reports for the coal regulatory and the abandoned mine lands programs.
Second.
So OSM, the Office of Surface Mine, the federal agency, and I just want to say I brought this over because in this day and age, it seems like it's so common to criticize almost everything that government does. There's almost no way that people are satisfied with things. And so something like this is just extraordinary and I think deserves to be highlighted. OSM issued their evaluation reports for the two programs, our coal regulatory and the abandoned mine lands programs. And the evaluation year ended June 30th of 2021. No issues or concerns were raised in the reports, and OSM continues to report that the commission has effective and efficient coal regulatory and AML programs. I want to read you some excerpts, and the first ones are from the coal regulatory program. The first one: based on topics evaluated this year, North Dakota has an effective program with no issues in need of corrective action. The second one, the PSC has a very good relationship with industry, landowners, citizen groups, and other governmental agencies, including the OSM. The Reclamation Division carries out its duties using the appropriate technical expertise and with a high level of professionalism. The third one, the North Dakota PSC staff continues to implement the program in a professional, cooperative, and fair manner. The Reclamation Division uses new technology to become more efficient and make information more readily available to the public. The PSC has the necessary technical expertise for carrying out its functions to ensure that all of the requirements of SMACRA, the federal law, are met. And lastly, the PSC achieved all required inspections despite severe travel restrictions resulting from the COVID-19 pandemic. And now a few excerpts that apply specifically to the abandoned mine lands evaluation report. The state administers an excellent abandoned mine land reclamation program in full compliance with their approved AMLR plan. The Casper Field Office, which is one we work with, continues to enjoy an excellent working relationship with staff of the North Dakota Abandoned Mine Lands Division. Their personnel are experienced, knowledgeable, and dedicated to the goals of the program. The division also maintains a good relationship with other state and federal agencies that must be contacted while preparing projects for reclamation. The third one, the North Dakota PSC continues to administer an efficient and successful AML program. Since the program's inception, North Dakota has conducted over 176 primary reclamation projects, 33 emergency projects, and numerous construction and sinkhole filling projects at a total cost of $59.3 million of federal funds. And lastly, the North Dakota PSC maintains a very cost-effective program with only 14% of the grant dedicated to administrative costs. The remainder of the grant is spent on project design and construction. I just really wanted to highlight some of these things and the overall wonderful evaluation that these two divisions received, and thank our staff for that. I think it's a credit to our staff and to this agency and to North Dakota state government. And in this case, you have a regulatory program, and most regulatory programs have somebody who really wants the regulation and someone who wishes they weren't regulated. In this case, I think the mines, landowners, even environmental groups that maybe sometimes are on opposite sides as the mines that we regulate and we have to make decisions. I think, as far as I know, pretty much everybody agrees that our state program is the far better alternative than turning it over and just having a federal program where we could have out-of-state people administering it that would be far less responsive and nimble than what we have here. So very proud of these two programs.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
John,
I would just echo the same thoughts. Incredible program, fantastic work, and we're lucky to have a staff like we do here at the PSC because it's a positive reflection not only on the work you do, but for the state as a whole. So many, many thanks.
Awesome. I have a couple thoughts too. So just recently I've had the opportunity to get feedback from some outsiders on our coal mining oversight. One is a group of the Bismarck Mandan Chamber Leadership Program on Energy Day, which I help organize. Those participants go out and have a coal mine tour. And they we have had Guy participate in that to talk along with the mine manager about, you know, here's how they mine the coal, and here's how the oversight occurs, and here's how the reclamation occurs. And the students, they're all working professionals in Bismarck Mandan, but they're students of this program, were amazed at how fast the reclamation occurs and how high the standards are. And so, and those are people who live in this town, you know, year round, and not outsiders from a different place. So I think like the appreciation that people see once they get out there is so much more than what, you know, you can appreciate when you're just driving by the mines on a regular basis between here and Minot or wherever it is you pass them. And then also a friend just this last weekend, he's on this Rick Clayburgh's the Banking Association board. He's on their board, and they toured one of the mines this weekend, and he could not believe it how after, and he is a high-level banking executive in Bismarck, so he's also been exposed to this for years, could not believe the standards that these companies are held to for reclamation, how good the reclamation is, and how fast the reclamation is. And so it's just really cool to see what people who are outsiders to the industry and the process come to understand once they're able to get out there and see the work that's being done. And I do believe it is what makes North Dakota's mining program so different, perhaps, than almost any other state. I'm sure other states do a great job too, but ours is truly exceptional how mining is done here, and it is a tribute to this industry and all the hardworking people in it. And I just wish that we could bring more people from throughout the country here to see how it's done here, and to show that you can do this in a way that allows you to develop this resource and preserve the long-term integrity of the environment, both at the same time, not sacrificing one for the other. So great job, ladies, two women in charge of the program, also noteworthy or soon to be in charge of the program, the both mining and the abandoned mine lands program. So we're proud of that as well. So thank you for all your hard work.
You know, you prompted me. I've actually toured the country. I've been to a number of mines. And North Dakota continues to have a model program. It truly is world-class reclamation when you compare it to what other states are doing. I've been to West Virginia, I've been to Wyoming, I've been to Canada, touring a mine up there. And it's in many cases, the work is, it's a night and day difference between how the land is reclaimed here in comparison to other parts of the country or North America as a whole. And I think the testament is when you go to a mine and you ask someone, if you're driving a section line, what side was reclaimed, and they can't tell. And they usually pick the area that hasn't, that has already been, or the area that hasn't been mined is the reclaimed land. And they truly do, because I've been in those vehicles and say, okay, what side was reclaimed? They'll point this way. Say, no, that hasn't been mined yet. So the reclaimed land, it looks natural. It looks better in many cases. So that's the testament. In fact, I was even fooled on that. So I don't want to steal the day. I just wanted to point out the contrast that I've seen personally traveling around the country. And we've had representatives from other coal states that have toured as a part of a national committee I'm involved with, and they were beyond impressed as well. So nicely done.
I also, since they're here, should just point out Joan Briner leads our Abandoned Mine Lands Division, and then our director, we have one director of both the Reclamation and Abandoned Mine Lands, and Dean Mose, we actually lost to retirement as of last Friday, so this evaluation fell under his wheelhouse. And Zanna Brinkman is the new director, and what a challenging situation to take over that when you have to follow a report that is this glowing, but I'm confident that she will continue to run an outstanding operation.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Chairman?
Yes.
I only really got a chance to delve into this shortly before the meeting with legal staff. I have some real concerns with BK1. And I'm wondering if we could delay that to future meeting and possibly set a work session.
Sure, I'm fine with that.
That's fine.
Yeah. What's the official term? Not
delay. Holdover.
Holdover. Yeah. Okay, so BK1 will be held over, and I think that automatically puts it to the next meeting. If we hold over.
Correct.
There's another thing. There's another official action that.
Could we look at scheduling a work session?
Sure, we can add that to the admin agenda. Work session on this. All right.
Yeah, that's understandable. It's I wouldn't call it overly complex. I was going to walk through the motion because I did work with staff, legal staff, etc. on just how the sequence fell into place, and also. The way the previous order was written. So we did quite a bit of work on it.
Okay, so we'll set schedule a work session for PU-21377 during our scheduling in admin.
Thank you.
Yeah, but it'll be easy enough to flesh out, so.
Okay.
Okay, well, with that said, I only have One, I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing an Otter Tail Power Company meter testing rule waiver approval, case number PU-21-416.
Second.
On October 21st, 2021, Otter Tail Power Company filed an application for a waiver pursuant to the terms of North Dakota Administrative Code. And in this case, the waiver that they are requesting would suspend the existing meter testing plan and associated annual reports for the years 2022 through 2025 and to resume in 2026. This is tied to Otter Tail's advanced metering program that they, again, are going to be installing. So the issues in this matter to be considered are whether it's appropriate to grant the waiver of the commission's rules under North Dakota Administrative Code and as it applies to meter records. Those interested are invited to comment on the application in writing. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and the reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for hearings must be received by December 3rd, 2021. If deemed appropriate, the commission can determine the matter without a formal hearing. Those interested can call the PSC here at the state capitol, 701-328-2400. And this is for a waiver on the testing, so I'm not going to really take a deep dive into the AMI program that Otter Tail is looking at or will be implementing. Because we've talked about that before, but Otter Tail will have a chance to come in. If a hearing is not requested, which I honestly don't anticipate anyone's going to request a hearing on this, at a minimum, I will ask for an informal hearing on the matter, because a five-year period, in effect, stretching it to 2026, is quite a period of time, and I just want to make sure that while Otter Tail has had an excellent record in terms of accuracy of their meters, we just want to make sure that we maintain the integrity of meters out in the field as this transition occurs. And rather than speculating beyond that, that's why we schedule informals. The company can come in, they can make their case, but Otter Tail has been a really good operator. And based on past history, I'm sure their presentation that they will give and information will bring this together and it will make sense. And if not, we can take move forward accordingly. But this is, again, a notice of opportunity for hearing should anyone else desire something beyond what I anticipate and will ask for, which is an informal hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, so that concludes the regular agenda. We have a couple announcements here. Looking ahead in the rest of this month, next Thursday the 18th, we have a formal hearing on the request from Basin Electric for a waiver on the light mitigating technology. Each of these has been a little different. Yesterday's, we did one with XL, and theirs was different than the earlier one we'd done in September, which was more based on supply chain issues. Yesterday's was more based on landowner and some layout issues, and this one here is based on requests from the Basin. One is based on some problems they're having with the base. So each of these has been slightly different and interesting. On November 22nd, we have a hearing up in Williston on Highland Cruise short pipeline that is being proposed there. And then on 23rd, we have an information exchange meeting with MDU. We went almost a whole year without any of these information exchange meetings with the utilities because of COVID, and yesterday we had one with NSP. It was fascinating. They focused almost entirely on their nuclear fleet and how they are positioning that for the long term, and also have a number of employees in that company who are leaders in the nuclear industry nationwide, and Had a lot of interesting insights to share on the future of nuclear generation as a whole, storage of the waste and all of that, so disposal. So it was a fascinating discussion. We have one scheduled later this month with MDU, so those are good to get back on the calendar, and having those kind of one-off discussions about broader issues not specifically related to a case in front of us. And that is it for announcements.
Say, Madam Chair, can we add to discussion, and it may move into scheduling. I would anticipate a work session, but I would really like to talk about the disparity between how we find between different entities. Because I had quite a number of questions on
prior to the meeting. Why don't we just schedule a work session, because I don't think a discussion will be really... It's a big topic. Why don't we just set a work set, put it under scheduling for a work session? Is that all right?
If that's the way you would like to do it, I guess. Wait till discussion and get Commissioner Christman's thoughts if we should just go straight to.
All right. I just don't like discussion matters that take 20 minutes. And that'll be probably an hour-long discussion.
That's what we're here for.
That's what work sessions are for. All right. With that, we are adjourned for questions.